Blog Talk Radio.
Make some difference, what you're going through. You're gonna make it, God's gonna see you through. Hold your head up, put a smile on your face. This is another test.
Blessing with your name on it, not with what other people say, but with your name on it. And I'm here to tell you, it's yours. It is yours. But you know what? You're gonna have to go get it.
Looking through a telescope, you see where you're gonna be.
Your love, so now you're stronger than you've ever.
go get it. It's your time. Jesus Christ, called by the will of God to all the saints and faithful in Christ Jesus. Heavenly Father, we come this morning, this afternoon, this noon hour to say thank you. Thank you for all that you're doing for us. And most of all, thank you for your word, because there's nothing like your word, Father God. It's in your word that we learn who we are and whose we are. I thank you, Heavenly Father, right now for this beautiful day. I thank you, Father God, for the mouth to be able to speak your glorious word. Father God, I thank you right now that you've considered us to be a vessel of honor. I thank you, Father God, for looking at us the way you look at us. In spite of how we look at ourselves, Father God, I thank you for it. I thank you, Father God, for your sweet spirit, Father God, who lives in us and abide in us forever. I thank you for it. I thank you, Father God, that we've been excelled in your word. We've been excelled in your spirit. We've been raised up and seated with Christ Jesus in the heavenly places. I thank you for it. I thank you, Father God, that you will everything your word have decreed and declared that we are. I thank you for it. I thank you, Father God, that you let us be a member of the body of Christ. And I praise you for it. I mean, you consider us to be a citizen of heaven, and we're seated in heavenly places right now in the name of Jesus. I thank you. I thank you for the power that you've given us to live and to operate in you. I praise you for it. I give you the glory and the honor, Father God, that you let us walk in your spirit. Hallelujah. You let us walk in your light, Father God. I thank you for the new creation. I thank you, Father God, for the content that is in the word of God that give us that security that we can live in it and we can abide in it forever. I praise you for it. I give you the honor and the glory. Hallelujah. I affirm, Father God, that we're everything your word have decreed and declared that we are. We are your children who have been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible seed. I thank you for it. I honor for those that will receive a word today. I thank you, Father God, that ears are being unstopped right now. As we speak, Father God, we just command Satan to cease all operation. There will be some ears that will be unstopped today. There will be miracle today, Father God. There will be those that will hear the word like they never heard it before. And I thank you for it, and I glorify you for it. I thank you, Father God, for the supernatural. For the supernatural life that you've given us, and we can experience it, and we walk in it. We are supernatural people living in this corrupt world. I thank you, Father God, that we're holy people because you called us that. I thank you, Father God, for your experience in the miraculous today. I thank you for it. I thank you, Father God, that we are not of the world, but we are in the world to do what you have designated and commanded us to do. I thank you, Father God, that I can see it. I see it as a born-again believer, Father God. I see it, Father God, as your child, and I praise you for it, and I give you the honor and the glory. And I ask you, Father God, as we continue to do your will, you speak through this vessel. Father God, I open it up to you, Father God. Whatever you want me to say, I'm willing to ask. I'm willing to do it. Give us your wisdom. Give us your revelation. Give us your knowledge. I know my knowledge is no good. I need your knowledge. I need your wisdom. I need your standards. I thank you, Father God, that the word of God is alive and it's real. It's according to the working that we let work up in us. I thank you. And you gave us that when you raised Jesus from the dead. Now I ask you, Father God, that anyone want to touch and agree, predicated on the word of God, we put ourselves out there with them. If they're going to agree according to the word of God, we agree with them. Now I ask these and all blessings in Christ's name. And for his sakes we pray, and everybody agreed, said amen and amen. As in any message that go forth, I ask you all to pray, to affirm and confirm that whatever message is for you. I mean, all messages ain't for you. So therefore, you need, especially if it's a prophetic message, you have to ask God, Lord, is this message for me? And then once you pray and ask him that, then ask him to confirm it. You know, and that's really important because there's so much stuff out here nowadays that where you hear people preaching and teaching, and oh, that's a mighty word of God. And I got to be honest with you all. Man, I just see stuff God, I know I'm not the only one he's showing this stuff to, and in the way he's showing it. Like I see a lot of people preaching about what we got to do, what we ain't, where we've missed the mark. I mean, I just all condemnation stuff. It's as though we're before the cross. Brother and sister, let me tell you what. We're operating past the cross, okay? There was stuff that happened before the cross, and then there's stuff happened after the cross. We're operating in the stuff that happened after the cross. Like, we're seated with Christ. We're seeking those things above. So our message is coming directly from God, but tying in with the word of God in light of redemption. Let me say that one more time. Because see, a lot of people, they don't see the word of God in light of redemption. What are you talking about, preacher? I'm seeing the word of God as God say we, what he says we are, not what we feel. Brothers and sisters, you need to get off of that. I was talking to some people yesterday. I'm going to be honest with you. You got to get out of your feelings, okay? You need to do that for real, for real. Get out of your feelings. The people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge, not for the lack of feelings. That's why they're going to be destroyed. They don't know that they are spiritual beings having human experiences. Stay true to your spirit, which is the word of God, not to your earthly spirit. See? But to the Spirit of God, that's what we want to stay true to, bless God. Okay? Now, I think I'm going to start doing something a little different because the Holy Spirit had said to me that I need to have a preface, you know, like an introduction of what I'm going to teach about, because everybody don't get this. So every day, and I don't know when the Lord's going to have me do this, but I can tell you this, every day, as long as the Lord say do it, I'm going to make sure I do like a prefix to make sure everybody get that. Everybody don't know what I'm talking about. I talked to some people yesterday, they had no clue. So the Lord told me, he said, you start doing a prefix. Do it like a preface. Introduce what this is about. And first of all, you have to understand about four or five things. First of all, look at yourself as a new creation. Like something never, every time we're going to be teaching, it's going to be about something that God say we are. Not what I think you are, not what pastor feel like you are, or not even what you feel like you are. You can't live on that. You're not to live by that. Matthew's 4:4, Luke 4:4 said we're to live by the word of God. Well, that has to become a reality. So I'm going to start, and the teaching that I'm going to be doing is going to be all predicated on the New Testament. Now, that don't mean we're not going to talk about Old Testament stuff. That's not what that means. What that means is that you're going to get an idea of what we're talking about before the message. In other words, you're going to have to embrace your new identity. Preacher. You're going to have to embrace your new identity if you're going to deal with these messages that the Lord have given me. And that's, first of all, you're in Christ, okay? If you haven't, get in him. Very easy. Ask him to come in there, and he'll come. You know, Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. Now, that was before he was risen. He didn't tell him how. The way we learn how is after the fact. And that's being born again, not through hollering, not through going to church, not through the, not, but by the word of God. That becomes that seed that gets in you. So that's first and foremost. Know that you got to start identifying with God. He's always wanted that. That was his heart. Read Genesis 1:26. He said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. John 4 says that God is a spirit. So if we're to be like God, it's in the spirit. Paul comes along and says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, hallelujah, he is a new creature. I see newness right now. I'm speaking that. I see that when Paul wrote to the Colossians, for this cause also we, since we heard of you and the day of your praying, he said, we don't cease to pray for you and to desire that ye may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Well, that's what this is about. God wants you to be filled with spiritual knowledge. Enough of this already. Just folks condemning you already. Every time you hear a message, it's about what you're not doing, what you should do, how you're going to do what you do, and so forth and so on. No, brothers and sisters, God have already declared it, and that's what we are. I sometimes think about the difference between a fellowship and a relationship. Because I'm going to be honest with you guys. I used to wonder what was the difference, and that's such a big difference. And God wants us to be not only in fellowship, fellowship, but he wants us to be in the relationship. And relationship means that we have the same thing in common. That's what that means. So with that being said, I'm going to ask you to embark on what I'm going to share with you. First of all, let's thank God as he have given us the knowledge and the wisdom to understand this word. Our union with Christ in the new creation. Now start looking at it as our union with Christ in the new creation. And our communion with him are based on two other words. And these words are fellowship and relationship. I hope y'all hearing me. So now I've been real strong about relationship, and there are others that have really been strong about relationship. But it's always about how we become and what we should do, and God want us to. You already in relationship. You got born again, baby. You already in the relationship. I'm finna go somewhere with you. See, when you start kissing and hugging, it's like you're in a relationship. Before, y'all were just in the fellowship, you hold hands, but now you're in a relationship. There's some intimacy going on here. I pray you hear what I'm trying to tell you here. See, you're in relationship with God because you start agreeing with him. You start abiding in him. I better get some paper for you. How about John 15, 7? He says, I'm the vine, you are the branches. How is it that you're not in relationship with him if you're the branches? Somebody explain that to me. Because the same stuff in the vine is in the branches. Last time I checked, if sap is in the vine, it's in the branches. Oh, I know I'm right now. That's John 15, 1. Read it. It's there. And then he turn around and tell you to abide, to live in this. Not for folks to tell you what you should do, what you should not do, and you ain't this, and you ain't that, and da-da-da. See, enough of that already. Except what God have said about you. How about that one, huh? Whatever God, I don't care about your fight out mind. It don't matter. It doesn't matter what your mind tells you. It's what the word of God say. So you're going to start agreeing with what the word say. Some of y'all have already started. You just don't. It's not on a continuous basis. I mean, I hear these little Legos, whatever you want to call them, sayings that a lot of church folks say. Oh, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Greater is he that is in me than he is in the world. I hear, but they're not. They're not, let me see what you want to say. They're not fluid with it. They say a little bit and then they may change. No, it has to be constant. You've been forgiven. You've been washed in the blood. So let that put a period down and say, hey, I've been forgiven of sin. Boom, there's a period right there. It's not a matter to discuss any longer. I'm forgiven. So I'm going to walk like I've been forgiven. I'm going to act like I've been forgiven. I'm going to talk like I've been forgiven. I'm not going to let you go back, take me back to that, down that dead road of condemnation. I ain't going. I'm going up and not down. I'm going to exhale and not, I'm going up. I'm not going down. Because, see, usually bad things happen when you go down. Read Luke 10. Remember when the man came down from Jerusalem, he left the, according to some theologian, he left the church in Jerusalem at the top of, and he came down. And when he came down, he fell among thieves, and they beat him, left him half dead. Y'all know the story. And the priest came down, he came down and saw the man, because the man was down. That's not where I'm trying to go with this. I'm trying to let you see. Anything down, usually need to be brought up. See, it's good to go down, but it's better when you go up. See? So, you want to continue to ascend into the things of God. See, Jesus went down in the grave. Watch this. But he ascended up above all the heavens. That's when it got real for us. That's when it got great for us. Now, what we have to start declaring that we have been delivered from the power of darkness, translated into his kingdom, and then walk like that, live like that. I don't care what your flesh tell you. Your flesh is not the boss here. You've been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You've been accepted by the word of God. You've been crucified, so you're dead to that old life. You got to start living to that new life. And with that being said, see, I probably spent 20 minutes trying to explain to those that never heard me the importance of understanding where we're at in the body of Christ. And if you haven't accepted your new role, I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to give me something real short. So that way I can go right into the messages that the Spirit been giving me. Understanding that, like for instance, like yesterday, we were talking, and let me share this with you, brothers and sisters. Over in, what was that, Ephesians 3:11, I got to think about that for a moment here. Okay. According to the eternal purpose, which he purposed in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So we're operating in the eternal purpose. It's about our eternal life, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by faith of him. Wherefore, I desire that ye faint not at my tribulation, for you which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father and our Lord Savior Jesus Christ, in whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Well, let me get to my point. My point is that God expects for us to live an abundant life. Remember John 10? 10? Yeah, I'm going to get me an introduction too. I'm going to have to do that so that when I get on here, you all know exactly where I'm coming from, okay? I'm going to have to give you like a little introduction. I call it a preface. Like when you open up a book, it tells you, you know, it's going to introduce the prologue or whatever, the beginning, the starting point. It's like it's supposed to explain like some of the main parts. And that's what I'm going to have to do. That may be my, what they call it, intro, whatever. When I get on, I have to say some things, because if you come in here being under condemnation, you'll miss everything I'm going to say. If you come in here being carnal-minded, you'll miss it. The only people going to really get this is people who have been spiritual-minded. And I don't want to have to every time give you everything by a parable. Grow up, you know. Get in your word so that you'll understand that when God talking about his grace, that's for the new creation. That's so that you can say, you know what? I'm able because God is able. I'm able to do that. God done recreated himself in me. And I got to start living it now. Because Christ in you is the hope of glory. That got to become a reality now. You know. Hey. You know. Let me make it real clear to you. Because some people hadn't got this yet. So it's going to be important that we understand that we're operating as new creatures, because we already have fellowship with the Father. And then John 10:10, I came that they may have life and have it more abundantly. What was that life? It was the nature of God. That's why Jesus came. Everybody just think he only came to die and that's it. No, brothers and sisters. Our stuff really started after Jesus risen from the dead. That's when we recognize that all power is in his hand. And he can do above and beyond whatever you think of acts. See, a lot of times people just take that means in the flesh. Well, I'm going to get this because God will do this and he'll do that. And it's all related to the flesh. How about the spirit man? When we're going to associate some of this stuff with the spirit man? Christ died for us, and we have that. Yes, he died for that. He died for us. True that. But I want to remind you of who you are based on the word of God. Man was created in the image and likeness of God. He is the same class. I get it. I know it's hard for some of our mind to receive this. Reciprocate. But let me tell you this right now, brothers and sisters. You're in God's class, okay? God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. John 4:24. See, the physical has called the inward man of the heart a self-conscious mind, or to call it the mind. But let me be honest with you. They have recognized that there is a consciousness was a voice from an inward person. But what they don't recognize
is that you're just like God, man, on the inside. Now, the natural man won't understand it. So don't be trying to get your head to grasp this, because your head won't. It takes your spirit to say yes to it. Yes, Lord. The natural man does not understand the things of the spirit. 1 Corinthians 2:14. The natural man cannot know himself or know God. So consequently, the study of certain teaching does not apply to this, because as long as they're being carnal minded, they won't get this. See? That's why we got to understand, we got to start living in the risen Christ. If you then be risen with Christ, if you be risen, remember Adam was a fall man. We're not dealing with that. We're a new creation. Everything new. Not something, every. So God expects for us to operate in that new creation and stop listening to people that want to condemn us, want to call us out about who we were, what we did, how we did it. They'll never see you saved. I don't care if it's your own children. I don't care if it's your mate. Now, every now and then, they'll see the Spirit of God in you. But see, that's why we got to appease God. God have determined who we are and what we are. So let's stay on that track, huh? How about that one, huh? Let's go by what God called us. And let's listen to the Spirit of God. See, in these last days, men are going to have itching ears. That's why they're hearing all this different stuff. And it's nothing that the Holy Spirit is really saying. Oh, they may say that, but that don't mean nothing. Just like over in Matthew 7, they're going to say a lot of stuff. They're going to say, Lord, did not we cast out them? Lord, did we not we speak with new tongues? Lord, did we not we do this? Jesus is going to say, depart from me. I don't know you. Yeah, they're going to say that. So that's where we're at. But let me tell you, brothers and sisters, our job is to get people eternally ready. So that's why it's so important that we start acting like God wants us to act, okay? And that's why it's so important that you understand that you are of the new creation. Jesus illustrated it in his talking to Nicodemus when he said to him, except a man be born. See, there's no exception. Except a man be born, he cannot see, just see now, in the spirit. He won't be able to see. And when you see that word in the Greek, what it means is it has an understanding, to see with understanding, to see with knowledge, to see with enlightenment. Man won't see this stuff, because he won't see how God operates. He can only see it in the flesh. I heard somebody say the other day, well, you got to believe in the kingdom of God. Spirit. Well, the kingdom of God is spiritual. Have nothing to do with the flesh. Get away from that garbage. The kingdom of God is not meat nor drink, but righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. Let me give you another word of knowledge. You want to know if a person really a Christian? Go to Galatians 5. Those are the fruits of the Spirit. So that's what's in you. It's not how well you preach, how well you can pray in tongues, how well you prophesy. No, it's none of that. The fruit of the Spirit is what's coming off the tree. Woo, preach. I'm trying to do the best I can. See, here's what's going on, brothers and sisters. You go to an apple tree, you don't look. If you get an orange off of that, something wrong. So that's how you test. See if the fruits of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22, see if that's what, then you'll know what kind of tree it is. If all they're doing is have corrupt fruit, all they're going to tell you is corrupt stuff, condemnation stuff. Then that's what kind of tree it is. Yeah, believe it. If all they want to do is teach you what you are not, instead of saying what the Word of God say you are or is, I don't know, I probably got some English folks up here want to correct me. But listen. Whatever the Word of God declare and decree that you are, that's what you're going to accept. As I tell you, I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, I don't care who it is. If it's a message going forth, especially if it's a prophetic message, yeah. You know, it behooves you to pray and ask God, Lord, is that message for me? That message may not be for you. You know, you want to affirm and confirm that that's what's for you. And you do that through prayer. You ask God, Lord, was that message for me or for who? Sometimes we want to know things instantly because, see, we've been taught, oh, yeah, that's a word of God. Amen, amen, amen. No, you want to go to God and see indeed if that message for you or not. A lot of preachers won't even tell you to do that. Well, I said it, and it's the word of God. It may be, but I don't know how you bringing it to me. You may have a different way of bringing it to me. See, because I know God's word coming to me alive, and I want to hear it like that. I want to hear the good news. Hello. Hello. You want to hear good news, not bad news. The word of God should be good news. What the word say you are, what God say you are. See, there's two different ways of preaching. Some people preach a message so you can get saved. Sometimes people preach a message so you can be lifted up. I mean, it's 50-11 ways out there. But let me tell you here, brothers and sisters, and you can ask God. You're already a Christian. So why should I be trying to get you up to the altar? For what? You're already saved. You're already delivered. You're already set free. So I'm not going to talk to you like you're not. I'm going to talk to you like the word of God called you. Whatever he's calling you is what I'm going to call you. If God said that you are holy, I ain't going to try to tell you you need to get holy. I'm going to call you holy. If God's word doesn't declare that the battle is already won, I'm going to declare that the battle is already won. If God has declared that he has preserved you and ordained you for such a time as this, that's what I'm going to say. If God said you have the victory, I'm not going to tell you you got to do this and do that so you can have the victory. No, God has already declared it. God has declared that his anointing is on your life. He declared it. What we got to do, preacher, we got to agree with it. How about that one, huh? We just got to start agreeing with the word of God and start telling folk what it ain't. If God says his mercy and grace is on you today, why are you going to let somebody take it off? Psalms 118 and 17 says, I will live and I will not die. The working of the Lord. My spirit is alive in Christ. Why should I say anything else? I believe that God have called us to live in this abundant life. It's an abundant life, not a condemnation, not a limited life. Stop limiting God in you, man. Let God loose in you. There's some things he want to do other than lay hands. There's a lot of stuff he want to do. Instead of teaching condemnation. Heard a, I'm not going to say a woman preacher because I know there's somebody get thrown off with that. But I heard a preacher was saying, well, the fivefold ministry got to be like this. Listen, man, Jesus gave gifts unto the church, to his body. That wasn't for the world. That was for his body. To build them up, but to build them up spiritually. To tell them, stop limiting God in you, man. You want to walk around thinking you always do pleasing God. That's what Jesus said. If you got the mind of Christ, that's what you're going to say. You're going to say the same thing Christ said. You remember in John 8:29, Jesus said, for I do always those things that are pleasing to him. Well, that's how you want to live every day. You please. Now, well, I hope I am. No, you are. You know why? Because of 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. Man, he gave you everything you need. Sufficiency. Everything you need, bless God. You have it. Stop playing with that. You got the power is within you. It's according to how much you're going to let work in you. That's why we have grace. You really want to know why you have grace? That grace, so it could erase all that flesh stuff. The moment the enemy come with that garbage, you tell him, I got grace. And it's sufficient. It's adequate. Grace lives in you. Huh? But put your hand on your stomach. Put your hand on your stomach and say, grace lives in me. Tell yourself, say, grace lives in me. It's sufficient. It's adequate. So when grace living in you, boom, sin just left. Everything else just left. Even having a condemned conscience just left because grace living in you. Then you learn what all comes along with grace. But that's God's unmerited favor. You didn't have to work for that. He declared it and you agreed with it. That's all. You agree with grace is living in you. See, this stuff will become will come to fruition and will become a reality when you start practicing. You got to look at it like this. We all are babes in Christ. We're growing. Grow. It's okay. It's okay that you not know this, and it's okay that you not know that, and it's okay that you've been taught a lot of crazy stuff like I was, so we can erase that. We can delete that. Come on, somebody. We can delete that and open up a new account. We can delete that and do it new. Like the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, all things are passed away. Let it pass away, and all things become new. See, we got to get spiritual, brothers and sisters. God expecting us to confess certain things in us. So when he says in 1 John 3:2, you are his beloved sons of God, then you say, yes, Lord, that's who I am. Again, I agree with you, Lord. The Bible says, whosoever is born of God overcome the world. You don't live by the world system. You live by God's system. So whatever the word says, see, this is spiritual. Because, see, as soon as you say that, you're going to have some crazy over there. Well, you know, you can't live just by God's word. They'll say that to you. See, because they only want to see it in the flesh. They want to switch it on, do a switcheroo on you. And God ain't talking about the flesh. He talking about God. So now, how I know that? Watch this. 1 John 5:4. Again, whosoever is born of God, God is a spirit. Whosoever is born of God overcome the world. In other words, if you truly been born of God's word, then you're going to overcome the world way of doing things. Then you're going to say, you know what, Lord, I can do it your way. That's how you know you're overcoming. You're not limiting God. You're not saying, well, if God don't do it for me, it won't be done. No. Some people are never serious. Never serious. Never understanding that God is talking to you direct. Never receiving the word directly. Listen, brothers and sisters. God is talking to you seriously. John is talking about me right now. Paul is describing me right now. You know, the Pauline revelation is like a family album. We pick it up and we look at the first picture. And once we take that first picture, that's a babe. You're a babe. You're a baby. Now we got to start growing in the spirit, not in your ability to play church. Not in your ability to be able to know some of the things they say so people know that you're familiar with the God stuff. None of that. But once you see that picture, man, I got the seed of God in me. And I'm getting born again. I began to grow. I'm developing. You've been written. Not with ink, but with the Holy Spirit. And let me tell you, Father, brothers and sisters, remember how all these months, I'm going to be honest with you guys. I've just been like, well, Lord, should I teach this? Lord said, yeah, you teach it. And tell them it's me talking, not you. It's me talking. God don't see you condemned. How I know that? Because of Romans 8:1, it says, therefore now is no condemnation. Well, why you want to be condemned anyway? That's what I'm trying to figure out. Why you want to be condemned? Why you want to walk around here saying, well, yeah, but. No, you're not. God don't see you condemned. The devil does, and he already know. I told you yesterday. The devil know, man. And I showed you where he believes. The Bible says that he knows, but he has a short time. The devil knows this stuff, and he don't care if you know it or not. He don't even care if you believe it or not. He believes and trembles at the very presence of God. Say, the last thing Satan wants you to do is stop believing it. And he really get angry when you start acting on it. You know why? Because when you start acting on it, you start pleading the blood, and you start casting him out and casting him down, he got to go. He has to go. He don't even have a choice in the matter. He has to obey you. We got to practice the word of God. We got to be a doer of the word. We got to start confessing, especially some of these uncertainties in our life. You confess what the word of God say you are every time, every situation. You are not playing with this any longer. The word says, I am redeemed, in whom we have redemption. Well, guess what? The bill been paid, bless God. I said the bill have been paid. And you'll be crazy to go and try to pay that same bill over and over. Well, if I can only do this, if I don't do this, and if I do that, then God's going to accept my payment. That's what you're really saying. If I can look holy, if I can walk the part, if I can, see, that's what folks, instead of teaching us, we got to declare what the word of God say we are. That's all. Just let's start declaring what he say we are, okay? Let that be our message. Stop playing with this old religious stuff. Got to do that. Let that be the message, that we are everything the word of God say we are. Okay, must be going over because I had several people that dropped down. But it's okay, you know. But I know no sense redemption. Satan rules over me. I have a great deal like those above me. I go to the same places they go. I listen to some of the same stories and talks. I've been to some of the same churches. And when they preach a real heart-searching message and give an altar call, I feel like I need to go up there and get saved again. See, because that's feelings. That's what they do to you. They get you all crunk up, crunk. I'm probably saying crank, but crunk. They get you all crunk. And for you know, but you think you ain't saved because you believe in what they said. Because they want to preach condemnation. And that's not what this is about. This is about your redemption, man. You've been redeemed. You've been redeemed, paid for. He took your sin, and he gave you your righteousness. Well, how do you know? Because then what 2 Corinthians 5:21 say? What we haven't, or what we've been short of doing, is taking, help me, y'all, taking what's ours. Righteousness is yours. It belongs to you. And you have to start declaring it over your life. That's what God say. He ain't going to change his mind. Sorry. He ain't going to change his mind. You may want him to, but he's not. Sorry. So I'm going to stop trying to teach people condemnation stuff. Well, you ought to do this, you ought to do that. No, the Lord said, you tell the people to accept what I've already did. The table is spread. It's already on there. Just go and accept it and receive it. Because as many as receive him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God. Okay. One more scripture. If you got a problem with this, the Bible says in 1 John 1, 9, if you'll confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sin. And he declared that he'll cleanse you of all unrighteousness. So whatever that means, just go to God and tell him. And he'll cleanse you of it. If it's unrighteous thoughts, if it's unrighteous acts. The answer lies in the scripture, brothers and sisters. Okay, anybody have any comments, anything you want to share? Press 1. Any likes, any of that. Okay, hallelujah. Well, going forward, do not teach people that they're condemned. Teach them what the words say they are. And you leave it to God The secret, that's what you're going to do. You got to plant the right seed. And the right seed is to tell them what God say they are and expect. Expect that seed to start growing. I'm going to leave that with you guys for today. Make sure you plant the right seed. Don't plant seeds of condemnation. You don't need to hear that. Don't tell them what they... Let me tell you what. If they could do it, they'd do it. They'll do it. If they could... I guarantee you, everybody on this broadcast right now, if you could just, boom, wiggle your nose, that's what that TV show, Bewitched, if you could just wiggle your name, boom, you'll make it happen right now. You'll make your children living right, your grandchildren living right, your neighbor living... If you could just wiggle... If you could pop your finger... No. How about this? If you could be like, what is that? Burger King. If you could have it your way right now, you'd order this for your child, that for your grandchildren. But it doesn't work like that. You have to drop the right kind of seed so you can get the right kind of crop. Years and years, we've been dropping the wrong kind of seed, telling people what they got to do. And God, no, you just tell them what God expects out of them. And what he expects out of them is right there in the Word of God. I can give you about 50 scriptures real quick. And it ain't all that high-polluting, all of that, this doctoring stuff. And this person got 5 degrees, so that make them qualify. That make them qualified to drop junk in your spirit. That's all that does. The Bible says, trust in the Lord. With all your heart, lean not to your own understanding, but acknowledge him in all thy ways, and he shall your path. That's the word, Proverbs 3:5.